Please mute.
Hi everyone, my name is Joe C. I'm a crystal meth addict and alcoholic.
Hold on a second, Joe. Would the sober mafia please mute? Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Once again, I'm Joe. I'm a crystal meth addict and alcoholic. Welcome to the BBA workshop with Tyler and Joe C. Tonight, we are going to be talking about the ninth step. Let's get started. Tyler, are you going to do the meditation music?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm your assistant, Joe.
Can I have someone, Kylie, will you read the third step prayer?
Yeah, hold on. Let me pull it up. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Didn't mean to pull it up.
Perfect. All right, let's get into our meditation. Okay, so we're gonna start on page 76 tonight. Did everyone do their cards? Or does anyone have any questions about the cards really fast? Just for like a minute. Any questions on the cards? Pretty clear. Okay, cool. So we're gonna talk about amends. And I'm gonna read the chapter and I'm gonna stop and talk about some of the amends I've made and also go over some points in the chapter. And we'll go back to the cards at the end too. And I'll tell you like a best practice that I did when I was doing my amends, because I made my amends in the BBA and I made all my amends. This is the only way I've known how to make amends, because it's the only opportunity I've had to stay sober long enough to make them. Because all my sponsors start me over all the time. So I was always starting over. I was always going back to step one. I'll go back to Bill's story, go back to Bill's story. I never got to the amends. And I believe today, if someone has relapsed in the process of the first eight steps, I'm still going to work with them to make their amends. And the last time I made amends, I had relapsed. So I did relapse in step nine, and it was like a 7-month relapse. And I went back to the BBA. I relapsed, and I'll talk about this a little bit more, because what we're really looking at here is fear. Okay. And I will go out on fear. I will go out on fear from amends. I will go out on financial fear from amends as well. And that's what I did. I went out on fear. And I went back to BBA, and I think I've already told the story. I went back to the BBA and went up to Tyla and said, you know, I'm back. And she said, well, did you have the obsession? I said, yes. Did you have the craving? I said, yes. And she said, well, then we're in business. And I still had all my amends cards, because I never got to finish them. So I went out and I finished those amends, and then went back, went through the steps again. So I'm a firm believer of, I'm not going to start someone over. They have to get through this process. They have to get through the 12 steps. And I'm going to see more power here in 9 and get more freedom through the 9th step, 9, 10, and 11, because all the steps build up to this point, you know? And I need this part. Like, I'm not going to get free if I'm not going to finish my amends. And if I've relapsed, how am I ever going to get to this place of finishing my amends if you keep starting me over in the goddamn big book? You know, it just doesn't work for me that way. So I don't believe that now, from my experience. So I'm going to start reading on 76 after the 7th step prayer. It says, now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. We have a list of all persons we had harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. And the BBA is so lined out that at the bottom of each inventory, it has the section, like I already talked about last week, that says harm. So I already have my list of harms. And then going into the 5th step, and if you haven't done your 5th step yet, one of the questions at the end of writing the transcribing is, part of the assignment is make a list of secrets and make a list of any other harms that are not in my inventory. Because there's lots of businesses that I stole from that I don't have any resentment and attachment with that I need to have on that list of separate harms. So I have my list of harms, and I have my inventory, which has every harm, the people I've harmed on it, and any other notes. Okay, so I already have the list. It says, now we are about to go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. The person I've become through my self-will, because I could be doing this process sober, or through my addiction, my spiritual malady, the person I've become even now today, this is what I'm looking at here. And I'm coming face to face with this person. I see this person in the 5th step. I'm face to face again here in 9. And it might feel, I know I'm a little ahead of myself, but it might feel a little odd. If I've been sober, I've been sitting on my steps and I've been sober for a year or two, or I'm making an amends for something that happened 7 years ago, and I'm not that person anymore, but I have been that person. So here I am face to face with this person, and not wanting to make it out of ego, or not wanting to make it because, oh, I don't want to even bring up the past anymore, or I don't want to look like that person anymore. Well, I was that person, you know, and I need to get unchained from that person. And this is the person that I become before I ever started drinking and using, while I was drinking and using and it wasn't working for me. And even now sober today, the spiritual malady has taken over my life, and self-will have run riot in my life. And I've become this person who's lying and cheating and stealing, and I have to go and make amends for this stuff, okay? So here I'm face to face with this person yet again. And if we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed to the beginning that we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. Now, you probably heard this before, but every step is attached to the first step. And this chapter is gonna connect drinking and drugging with amends like 4 times, okay? I haven't marked in my book, 4 times. It's going to connect the first step to amends. And what it doesn't talk about, though, is what we're really looking at here is fear. We just looked at fear inventory. You know, real men of faith have courage. these amends, I'm going to see opportunity here for me to begin to rely on that which I call God, to begin to rely on this power in my life. And I have to be given like opportunities. And step 9 is a great opportunity for me to start seeing this power work in my life. And the steps up to this point, the first 7 steps, 8 steps, I need those with me. As I go out and go back into the world to right these wrongs, I need that power with me. And I'm going to start to begin to develop faith in that power through this process of amends, because there's going to be opportunities for me to rely on God through this process. All right. But really, it's about overcoming this fear. And if you talk to people who say, oh, you can't make all your amends in the program, what you're really hearing is, oh, I was too afraid to make all my amends. I was too afraid to approach all those people, and you will be too. And you will succumb to the fear. You know, there's lots of places to balk in this program, and this is one of them. And this is where I could let the fear get the best of me, that I could sit in this program stagnant, still chained to the person I was or am, and not being able to move forward to get the freedom that the program has to offer me because of fear. And fear will steal from me. Remember we talked about fear stealing from me? It will steal from me here the life I could have, having made my amends and finishing my amends in that relationship with God. Probably there are still some misgivings. As we look over the list of business acquaintances and friends we have hurt, we may feel diffident about going to them, some of them on a spiritual basis. Let us be reassured. To some people, we need not and probably should not emphasize the spiritual feature on our first approach. We might prejudice them. At the moment, we are trying to put our lives in order, but this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be a maximum service to God and the people about us. It is seldom wise to approach an individual who still smarts from our injustice to him and announce that we have gone religious. So I stole from you last week. I'm not going to come up to you this week and say, I'm a changed person. I've got religion now. I've got God. And I'm sorry. It's just not going to work. You know, people need to see a demonstration. They need to see my life living better than words coming out, you know. And this also speaks to the timing of my amends. I should be praying about timing. I should be praying about which amends should come next. You know, I have my list. I have my cards. I have my local willing, local not willing, out-of-state willing, out-of-state not willing, can't find willing, and can't find not willing. So I'm going to be praying with these cards about, God, show me the direction you would have me, which amends should I make next, you know? And I usually start with local willing. The ones I'm willing to do that are local around me, I start with those, okay? Let me continue. In the prize ring, this would be called leading with the chin. Why lay ourselves open to being branded fanatics or religious bores? We may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message, but our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. He is going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than in our talk of spiritual discoveries. We don't use this as an excuse for shying away from the subject of God. When it will serve any good purpose, we are willing to announce our convictions with tact and common sense. The question of how to approach the man we hated will arise. It may be he has done us more harm than we have done him, and though we may have acquired a better attitude toward him, we are still not too keen about admitting our faults. Nevertheless, with a person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth. The big book doesn't say I have to like everyone and make an amends to. It also is going to say right here, it says, it's harder to go to an enemy than to a friend, but we will find it much more beneficial to us. We go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret. I may not have gotten to a place of complete forgiveness with someone, especially someone who might have harmed me more than I've harmed them. Okay. I feel like in my experience, because I've gone to people who I've still not been too fond of and who have harmed me more than I harmed them. And when I get to this place, when I'm centered in my inventory and I'm looking at my harms, okay, and I'm centered in what I've done to them, it gets me to this place of a forgiving spirit, all right? Not that I may have forgiven them completely for everything, but I do have a forgiving spirit, and I have had regret for the relationship, what happened, and how I either treated someone or the things that I did. So I have expressed my own regret with what I've done. Now, I've gone to someone, and when it says take the bit in your teeth, it really is take the bit in your teeth. I've gone to them and talked to them about the harms. I went to an ex, actually, and he harmed me more than I harmed him, but whatever. It's tit for tat. So I go to him and I express my regret. And the whole time I'm doing the amends, I ask him what I can do to make it right. And then I listen, right? And he was familiar with the program. So he had a little list for me. And I'm listening to him tell me what I need to do. And I'm just going, this motherfucker, you know, I need to call. I'm going to write another inventory as soon as I'm done with this. No, just kidding. I'm listening to it and I'm fuming. You know, I'm not saying amends are perfect, you know, and I'm not saying I'm going to get in this place of, oh, you know, it was so great. I remember feeling some anger through that. Afterwards, though, see, I'm not going to judge the relationship because our relationship after that, like years after that, we remained friends and we were still good friends. And I've still called on him and he's called on me. And I don't know what that looks like in the future. And I'm not gonna get into this. I don't wanna make amends to that person because I don't want a relationship with them. I'm not gonna get into that. Doesn't mean I have to have a relationship with them. I'm gonna steer clear of that. My job is to right the wrongs and correct my harms. But a relationship did develop still, and we have still become really good friends. And now he's high and using, and I'm sober, but he still reaches out to me every once in a while, but take the bit in my teeth. And I've also made amends to a woman who asked me after I made the amends, well, was there anything that I did wrong to you? And you know, this is the point where I really wanted to unload on her because she really did a lot of stuff to me, a lot of damage to me. And I took the bit in my teeth and I found it more beneficial for me to say, no. You owe me nothing and everything was fine. You know, I didn't even want to deal with it. So that to me was taking the bit in the teeth, and I was more gratified. These are amends I didn't want to make and I made them anyway. And I felt gratified with the result by just shutting up and listening. And part of this approach, I'll talk about it right here. Part of this approach, what I'm doing with the people I'm making amends with is I'm asking them, I make an appointment with them, right? I make an appointment with the person I owe an amends to. What's the harm? I'm very clear on the harm. My cards have all the information on them, okay? It has the person, where to find them, or if I can't find them. It has what's the harm, and I'm studying this card. I know what's wrong. When I meet, I make appointments, okay? I called three people and make an appointment for an amends. So I have three on the books constantly. This is how I made it through my amends. Because if I didn't, if I was just going to make one or say I'm going to call that person next week, I'll never do it. And this is just for me. So I make three appointments. And I call them. And if they answer, because they might see that it's me and they're not going to answer the phone, which a lot of the cases I left a lot of messages, okay? And it was me on the phone telling them why I'm calling. So I need to let them know why I'm making an appointment for. I'm not going to just show up to someone's house out of the blue and bring up some shit that I did 3 years ago. You know, it just doesn't work that way. I'm very clear about, I'm in the program of recovery. Hi, this is Joe. I'm in a program of recovery, and I made a list of my life and the inventory I took on my life. And I made a list of people who I had harmed, and your name came up and was on that list. And I'd like to meet with you to go over some of these things to try and clear up and right the wrongs of my past. If you could give me a call, that would be great, you know? And I let them know, we set up an appointment. I meet them on neutral ground. I meet them at, you know, Starbucks is great, a coffee shop, an area. I'm not too big on going over to people's houses unless that's where they are always and that's where I need to go. I have my card. When I make my appointment for 5 o'clock, I'm there at 4:45. I'm in my car and I'm praying. That's what I do. I pray. I'm studying my card. I go up to the place. I sit with them. I thank them for the time that they're spending with me. you know, and I get to it. I tell them I'm in a program of recovery. You know, this is why I'm here. These are the harms I'm aware of. And I list them. If I need to read them from the card, I'll just read them from the card. And then I ask them if there's any more harms that they may be aware of that I'm not, that they need to tell me about. And I just shut up and I listen. All right? They might tell me stuff that I don't necessarily agree with. I never got that. I never really got much more than what I've already told them. And then I say, would you like to tell me how these affected you or hurt you? And I listen. And as they're talking to me, I understand, you know? And then I ask them, what can I do to make this right? And I listen. And if I need to take little notes on my card, I will take little notes on my card. It just depends. I felt like sometimes with relationships or exes that I had lived with and been with, I felt a card was a little formal, and I didn't really need the card and write it down like I knew them, you know? And then other people that I didn't know as well, I had a card with me and I wrote down with them what they told me. And I did have people tell me things, but that's the approach I do with my amends, with all of them. If it's a business, if it's personal, I take the bit in my teeth, I listen. I'm not there to tell them, like, when did I become the judge of how it affected other people? I'm not that person. I cannot tell them how it affected them. I cannot tell them what I need to do to make it right for them, because they might have a different idea of how it hurt them and how it needs to I need to make it right for them. So I'm not the judge here. So I allow them to tell me and I listen, okay? And if it's not reasonable, then I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna go to an ex and then say, to make it right with me, you need to sleep with me. And I'm gonna say, okay, that's part of the program. You know, it's not gonna, that doesn't work for me. So it needs to be something reasonable. Rick, you laugh. And the people I work with, I don't let them go to their houses either. You meet on common ground, or you might even have to do a phone call or a letter. And that's where with the 8-step meeting with your sponsor and going over these things of how I'm going to make this amends is so important. How am I going to do this one? How am I going to approach this one? Is this one going to be a call or a letter, or is this one going to be a real face-to-face? Because if I can't be causing more harm either in doing this, and we're going to get to that right now. So let me continue to read. Bottom of 77. It says, under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell him that we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. This is the second time it connects alcohol to amends. But I also want to say, right here, we are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so. Never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. I want to say on that, we're there to sweep off our side of the street. I feel like that's gotten blown out of proportion. And I feel like people have taken that to make amends in a selfish way. Like, oh, well, I don't care how it affected them. I'm only there to take care of my side of the street. And I don't think that that's the spirit of amends. I think the spirit of this is that I'm going there, yes, to get free, but also to allow them to get free. I've never given anyone the rights over my behavior. I've seen that when I look in the third step over self-will run riot, the things I've done to people, I've seen it in my inventory. No one's ever had any right over my behavior. And this is the opportunity for me to give them rights over it. This is the opportunity for them to express to me how I affected them and affected their life, and how I can right this wrong. And I think that me saying, well, I'm just there to sweep up my side of the street, and I'm very careful not to say, well, I'm only making amends to you because I won't get over drinking if I don't. Like, that's a real bitchy thing to say. You know, I'm not going to use that line when I go up to someone and be like, you know, if it wasn't for my drinking, I wouldn't be here right now. You know, I'm going to be very tactful. All right. Because we can make this more about us when it's really about our relationship with God and our relationship with others and allowing others to get free, okay? And it says we will be gratified with the result, but not always. Watch your expectations here on amends too, because the result might not be what you think it is. I've had people that I thought would call the police on me, bless me. And then I've had other people that I thought would at least acknowledge me, never speak to me again. So I don't know exactly what's going to happen. But with most cases, I was gratified with the result. It says in 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. Sometimes the man we are calling upon admits his own fault. So feuds of years standing melt away in an hour. Rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress. Our former enemies sometimes praise what we are doing and wish us well. Occasionally they will offer assistance. It should not matter, however, if someone does throw us out of the office. We have made our demonstration, done our part. It's water over the dam. Most alcoholics owe money. We do not dodge our creditors. Telling them what we are trying to do, we make no bones about our drinking. They usually know it anyway, whether we think so or not. Nor are we afraid of disclosing our alcoholism on the theory it may cause financial harm. Approached in this way, the most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us. Arranging the best deal we can, we let these people know we are sorry. Our drinking has made us slow to pay. Here's another connection. It says we must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. Now, with money and finances, if you have a lot of financial stuff going on, it's best to see a financial advisor. I had to go to a banker. I had to go see a financial advisor about my situation. And I started there. And they helped me get on the right path and get the list of people I needed to make amends to. Remember, I'm not giving away my money. I'm paying back theirs. So I'm paying back money I stole or have used, and not giving away money. Now, so I was absolutely crazy in the first couple years of sobriety and making my amends. And as it was shared for me to do, that my ego wants to say, when I have all this money, I'm gonna go out and pay everyone off, okay? And it just doesn't work because I'll never get the money. Okay, I'll never get the amount. And if I do get the amount, I might spend it on something else. So what I did, and I was so broke in the beginning of sobriety, like I had to quit smoking just to be able to afford my own rent, you know? So like it was, I ride the bike, I ride the bus. I had no money. I had a credit report that was like, disgusting. And I felt like I owed everybody. And
you froze, Joe.
Did I freeze?
Just for a minute.
Okay.
You didn't freeze for me.
No? Okay. I said, I'm good? Okay. I said, I was just scraping by. And so the financial amends comes up and I'm just like, what the hell am I supposed to do? Here I'm sober and I'm miserable, you know? So what I did and what the suggestion was take the amount of money that you have left over, okay? Even if it's a little bit. So I said, okay, I have about $300 left that I could squeak by with. That's it. And I had like 15 financial amends to make. So I would go every month. I would go to, because I couldn't even get a bank account yet because I was on check systems, right? So I would go to get money orders. So I'd go get money orders every month. And these people that worked at the money order place would look at me like, oh fuck, here he comes. Because I had to get 15 money orders divided into $300. So there was the one that was for $100 that I had to pay because the court was making me and I had no way around it. Then there was like one for 50, one for 20, two for 15, 8 for 10, you know, and it was like all these for 5. And I would mail out these money orders to everyone and keep track in this book that I still have. And I was like a fucking bookkeeper. And I paid this one this. And this went on for years. I remember making amends to a treatment center because I owed them money. I owed them like a ton of money. It was Primero. It was this high-end private pay treatment center for $8,000 a month. Well, that was the discount that I got. But, and I remember making amends because I owed them so much money. And they were like, you have to pay us $50 a month for until you hit 5 years of sobriety. Okay, fine. I can do that, you know? So I did that, you know, and I paid them and I paid it off. I paid it as long as I could. But I was paying off all these financial amends. And that's how it was told to me to do them. That I do them all at once. And once I make the payment, the amends is made. And then it's just a matter of keeping up on the amends, okay? So the amends is already made. And now I just have to follow up. And if I miss a payment, then I go back and I make another payment. And I do that until I've paid them all off. Now I had a cousin who I owed money to, and she was one of these people. And I would send her checks every month. And I never heard a word from her. But I never got a fucking check back. So I know that bitch cashed those checks. But I never heard from her. I never heard from her. And I've not spoken to her since. She would not speak to me. I wrote her a letter. I said, I think this is the amount I owe you. And I started sending checks. And not one of them came back. I was waiting. I was like, okay, I'm waiting for her to come back. Come on, come on back. Never came back. So she got the money. I paid her off. And I still don't have a relationship with her. So this is why I'm saying, watch your expectations here. Because not everyone is welcoming, and not everyone wants to hear it either. And I'll get into more in a minute. So that's my experience with financial amends, and they dwindled down. So they started going from 15, then I owed 10 more, and then I owed 8 more, and then I owed 7 more, then I owed 5 more, and then I owed 1 more, and then I was paid off. Okay. All right. So perhaps we have committed a criminal offense, which might land us in jail if we were known to the authorities. We may be short on our accounts and unable to make good. We have already admitted this in confidence to another person. We are sure we would be imprisoned or lose our job if it were known. Maybe it's only a petty offense such as padding the expense account. Most of us have done that sort of thing. Maybe we are divorced and have remarried but haven't kept up the alimony to number one. She's indignant about it and has a warrant out for our arrest. That's a common form of trouble too. Although these reparations take innumerable forms, there are some general principles which we find guiding. Reminding ourselves that we have decided to go to any length to find a spiritual experience, we ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. We may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing, we have to be. We must not shrink at anything. Now, I am not others when it comes to amends, okay? Not to make amends unless it's to cause harm to others, but I cannot put myself down as others. If there's gonna be personal harm to me, I'm still gonna make that amend, okay? I've stolen from businesses, I've stolen from work. I was a team member of the month that was stealing from the cash register to support a drug habit, you know? And of course I had lost the job because I never was able to keep a job. So I wasn't worried about getting fired from the job because I'd already quit to be a full-time drug addict. So this was just me going back and making an amends to the business. But I go back to the amends. And some situations, because it was financial, but it was a manager that I had worked with specifically. Her name was Charlene. And this was one that I wasn't willing to make either. And I was so worried because I was like, you know, they could honestly just call the police on me because of the stealing that I did. And I made an appointment with her and I went back to the business and I had the money with me. This is one of those ones where I did have the money with me because I was going to go and I was going to make a transaction if they would allow me to and just give them back the money. And she did. She took the money, she cashed it back into the register, and then she offered me a job. I didn't take the job. I didn't want a job. I didn't want to go back to work there. But it was just the kind gesture of that, of her doing that. But I had to make it. And I was unwilling to make this one for such a long time. And it was one of my minuses. And I was meditating one morning and I was praying and it just hit me. And I was like, I need to make this amends today. And that's kind of the guidance that I had a little bit when I was making amends. There were certain ones that I was just like, today is the day. And I'm getting on the phone because if I don't do it today, I will never do this one. And I did it and I made an appointment and she answered and I got in. And once I make the appointment, you know, it's kind of already set. I'm not going to miss that appointment. So Dan would talk about, there's a difference between 8 and 9 and it makes a sound, and that sound is a knocking noise. You know, most of us are sitting in step 8, but we like to tell people, oh, I'm on the 9th step. If you're not actively making the amend, you're not really in step 9. You're still in step 8. You're becoming willing to make those amends, but making amends is is a different ball game. And this is about making the appointments and making the approaches, okay? If I'm not making approaches currently, or I'm saying I'm in step 10, or I'm staying in step 11, I'm really sitting back in step 8 because I'm unwilling to make my amends. And it's a careful place to be, okay? But I made that amends. And going to these places, like I had stolen from this store like 7 years ago. It had been 7 years. And here I am going back to these businesses that I had stolen from a long time ago. And I'm going to the managers and I'm asking for the manager of the store. And I'm asking, I tell them what I did, ask them how it affected their business. This is probably the amount that I stole. How would you like to make this amend? And one store said, we're currently doing fundraising for, it was like a children's disease that was going on for that time period. So they asked me to donate to that. And that's what I did. I donated to that. I've gone to businesses, back to businesses that have been closed. You know, they're not there anymore. You know, I would have made it if I could have, but I couldn't because it's not there anymore. You know, I make the amends where I can. All right. All right. Let me continue. It says, usually, however, other people are involved. Therefore, we are not to be hasty and foolish martyr who would needlessly sacrifice others to save himself from the alcohol pit. A man we know had remarried. Because of resentment and drinking, he had not paid alimony to his first wife. She was furious. She went to court and got an order for his arrest. He had commenced our way of life, had secured a position, and was getting his head above water. It would have been impressive heroics if he had walked up to the judge and said, "Here I am." We thought he ought to be willing to do that if necessary, but if he were in jail, he could not provide nothing for either family. We suggested he write his first wife, admitting his faults and asking forgiveness. He did, and also sent a small amount of money. He told her what he would try to do in the future. He said he was perfectly willing to go to jail if she insisted. Of course she did not, and the whole situation has long since been adjusted. Before taking drastic action, which might implicate other people, we secure their consent. If we have obtained permission, have consulted with others, ask God to help, and the drastic step is indicated, we must not shrink. So, if I'm gonna make an amends to someone, let's say this. I was a tweaker and I hung out with tweakers, all right? I was in a tweaker relationship. And me and my tweaker boyfriend would go around tweaking and stealing from people. We stole credit cards from his grandparents like 3 different times. We stole from his aunt. We stole from my aunt. So when it came time to amends, if I was to go make amends to his family members, they would know he was involved because we were attached to the hip. I would have implicated him. There would have been no way around it. He allowed me, I asked his permission, and he allowed me to make amends to his grandparents, but he would not allow me to make amends to his aunt because his relationship with his aunt and the reaction of his aunt was going to be different than his grandparents. So I was not allowed to make amends to his aunt, but I was allowed to make amends to his grandparents. I had to secure his permission before going out and making that amend. I cannot implicate other people at my own expense, okay? Does that make sense? So if he says I'm not allowed to make that amend, then it's done. I take that card, I rip it up, I throw it away. The amend is done, okay? There's no more amend there. If I go to a family member or if I go to someone and they don't want to hear it, because I got this a lot too. I've gone to my mother and she didn't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear all those details. I am not supposed to push on her and tell her she needs to hear it. If she doesn't want to hear it, she doesn't want to hear it. It's done. Take the card, rip it up, throw it away. The amend is done. Okay. I don't get into this. I have to be careful that I'm not going to people to resolve myself of guilt. That's not what this is about. This is not about, I feel guilty about something and I need you to pat me on the back or I need you to tell me that it's going to be okay and to listen to all this so I can dump on you like I'm dumping a meeting. That's not what this is about. I'm not here to dump on people. I'm here to write it if I can. If they don't want to hear it, it's a boundary and I need to respect that boundary. Okay. All right. Where am I?
So this good, Joe. So good.
Well, she didn't want to hear it. I can't make her. No. I'm not gonna get too detailed and stuff either. A lot of these, some of them are gonna be general. Like I'm not gonna tell my mom I shot drugs and did tricks. You know what I mean? Like if she wants to ask me, I'm more than willing to talk to her about it. But when she didn't want to hear it, I told her, well, if you ever do, let me know and we can talk about it. We can revisit it. And that's it. It's done. I had to make amends to my sister and her husband. And then I asked her if she wanted me to make amends to her kids because of all the drug use that might have caused the family. The problems that I caused the family, because I was a big cause of my family's problems. And she said, no, I don't want you to make amends to the kids. So I didn't, you know. If she had asked, if she had told me that I should have, because they were old enough to understand, then I would have. But she didn't want me to, so I didn't do it. Okay, this brings us to mind a story about one of our friends. While drinking, he accepted a sum of money from a bitterly hated business rival. He gave him no receipt for it. He subsequently denied having received the money and used the incidents as a basis for discrediting the man. He thus used his own wrongdoing as a means of destroying the reputation of another. In fact, his rival was ruined. So this is about gossip and slander. This is the big books talk about gossip and slander. I use this as a gauge for slander and gossip. I'll tell you why in a minute. He felt that he had done a wrong he could not possibly make right. If he opened that old affair, he was afraid it would destroy the reputation of his partner, disgrace his family, and take away his means of livelihood. What right had he to involve those dependent upon him? How could he possibly make a public statement exonerating his rival? After consulting with his wife and partner, he came to the conclusion that it was better to take those risks than to stand before his creator guilty of such ruinous slander. He saw that he had to place the outcome in God's hands, or he would soon start drinking again, and all would be lost anyhow. That's another time it connected to the first step. He attended church for the first time in many years. After the sermon, he quietly got up and made an explanation. His action met widespread approval, and today he's one of the most trusted citizens of his town. This all happened years ago. Now, I've done amends when it came to like shit talking and gossip, okay? For me personally, I have this thing that's like more of a formal amend and then like a kind of informal amend, more of a clear the air kind of amend. And that's where, so if I'm gossiping about someone or talking about that, hello? Sorry. Did you say something, Tyla?
Mm-mm.
Okay. If I'm talking bad about someone, I'm not going to go to the person necessarily that I'm talking about, not always, to tell them I was talking bad about them, because that might hurt them, right? But I might go to the people that I've been talking to and say, you know, it was really wrong of me to talk about that person that way and express my regret for having those ill feelings, all right? I necessarily wouldn't say, hey, I need to make an appointment with you. Can we go get coffee? I need to talk to you about something. If it was just like work shit talking. But if it was something like real gossip that really affected or hurt someone's life, then I would need to make that amend. That makes sense. So I kind of have this informal, like 10th step amend where it's like, you know, when I worked with you, I felt like I had such a bad attitude. I was such a shit to work with. You know, if you ever want to tell me how that made you feel, or like, how did that make you feel? Or, you know, I kind of have this informal way of doing it that I necessarily wouldn't invite them down to coffee because I don't want to get into foolish amends. Okay. I have made some foolish amends. I've also made some amends that did cause more harm. I was directed by someone at the time to make an amends to someone. I was dating someone. This is weird. Try to follow me. But I was dating someone. We weren't in a relationship, just kind of casually dating. And I was still sleeping with other people. And then I started feeling guilty about it. But it was no real harm because there was no like commitment there. And someone said, you need to make an amends for that. And I'm all, what? Like, you need to go make an amends for that. I'm like, no, I don't. And he's like, yes, you do. And I felt guilty and I made the amend. And then when I made the amend to the guy, he was like, why are you telling me this? You know, like, why did you tell us? And I felt even worse, you know, and then I felt bad for him. And I was like, yeah. No. I need to trust sometimes my own intuition when it comes to these two, you know, because sometimes people will put their shit on you. Like, if that happened to them at some point and they might've felt bad in their life and they're going to put that shit on me that I need to go make amends for that, that might not necessarily be true. Okay. So this is between me and God, and my sponsor is a guide here. Yes. But between me and God, I need to know if this is right or not, you know, and really the end is going to be that it's going to be through prayer, through meditation, and me getting right with God. Okay. And me being right with that person. So I have made amends that seem to cause more harm or kind of foolish. I remember making some amends that were just like, oh my God, I look so stupid now. I remember making a gossip amends to someone at work, and she's like, are you trying to tell me something? oh my God, now I feel bad that I say stuff like that. And I'm like, oh brother, it wasn't about me putting myself on this pedestal. Like, I'm not supposed to put myself on a pedestal and be like, now that I'm sober, all you children down there, you know, like it's not like I'm coming from this place of, you know, this high place of ego to now I'm looking down on everyone else. I should be humble about this whole situation. I don't know if that made sense or not, but it did to me. All right, let me continue. The chances are that we have domestic troubles. This is about cheating. Perhaps we are mixed up with a woman or man in a fashion we wouldn't care to have advertised. We doubt if, in this respect, alcoholics are fundamentally much worse than other people. But drinking does complicate sex relations in the home. After a few years with an alcoholic, a wife gets worn out, resentful, and uncommunicative. How could she be anything else? The husband begins to feel lonely, sorry for himself. He commences to look around in the nightclubs or their equivalent for something besides liquor. Perhaps he is having a secret and exciting affair with a girl who understands. In fairness, we must say that she may understand, but what are we going to do about the thing like that? A man so involved often feels very remorseful at times, especially if he is married to a loyal and courageous girl who's literally gone to hell for him. Whatever the situation, we usually have to do something about it. If we are sure our wife knows or does not know, should we tell her? Not always, we think. If she knows in a general way that we have been wild, should we tell her in detail? Undoubtedly, we would admit our fault. She may insist on knowing all the particulars. She will want to know who the woman is and where she is. We feel we ought to say to her that we have no right to involve another person. We are sorry for what we have done, and God willing, it shall not be repeated. More than that, we cannot do. We have no right to go further. Though there may be justifiable exceptions, and though we wish to lay down no rule of any sort, we have often found this the best course to take. So with cheating, you might be direct, you might not be direct. You might admit that, you might not. This is something that you need to take to prayer with God to know what's the best course to take. Because I don't know that necessarily telling someone who doesn't know might not be the best thing to do. Then there's situations where it is probably the best thing to do. I've been in relationships where I've been starting a relationship in the beginning of a relationship, and I've done things that I shouldn't have done, and I needed to admit that. I owed it to that person at that time to build this relationship of trust that I needed to make amends for that, and I needed to admit my fault. But there might be situations where it's a general. I had an ex. We both were wild. I don't know how wild he was, but I was very wild because I was tweaking in the bushes. I mean, come on. It was wild. I was tweaking around town. I was on drugs constantly. I mean, it was Mother's Day. I mean, it was Valentine's Day, and I went to the bathhouse and told him bye. And I'm going to the bathhouse. This is how effed up I was. So when we did amends, he knew I'd fooled around on him, but so he already knew. So it wasn't like it was some big secret that was gonna cause more harm. So we were very open about it, you know. But no one can judge your relationship better than you. So it's best to pray and to meditate about this. And if you need to seek counseling or another opinion of someone who's gone through that, then that's what you need to do. It says, our design for living is not a one-way street. It is as good for the wife as for the husband. If we can forget, so can she. It is better, however, that one does not needlessly name a person upon whom she can vent jealousy. Perhaps there are some cases where the utmost frankness is demanded. No outsider can appraise such an intimate situation. It may be that both will decide that the way of good sense and loving kindness is to let bygones be bygones. Each might pray about it, having the other one's happiness uppermost in mind. Keep it always in sight that we are dealing with that most terrible human emotion, jealousy. Good generalship may decide that the problem is to be attacked on the flank rather than risk a face-to-face combat. If we have no such complications at home, there's plenty we should do at home. Sometimes we hear an alcoholic say that the only thing he need to do is to keep sober. Certainly he must keep sober, for there will be no home if he doesn't. But he is yet a long way from making good to the wife or parents whom for years he has so shockingly treated. Passing all understanding is the patience mothers and wives have had with alcoholics. Had this not been so, many of us would have no homes today, would perhaps be dead. You know, I'm so grateful that my mom was codependent. And I had codependent people in my life because I don't feel like I would have gotten, I might have died if it wasn't for, and the love of a mother goes beyond anything. It goes beyond anything. So, and I could see in my life, remember sharing earlier in inventory, my mom would call me still in sobriety, worried about me. Oh, I haven't heard from you. You know, what's going on with you? What's up? And almost frantic sometimes. And this is like 2 years, 3 years, 4 years sober. And I had to see that a lot of that was my own fault. How I treated her, the nights I was gone. I mean, she wouldn't hear from me for weeks, for months. Didn't know where I was, and I'd wind up in a treatment center, and then I'd get in the treatment center, and then they'd have family day, and I'd be like, no, I need to work on myself. What a fucking bitch, you know? Like, I can't have any outside people around me. And all my family wanted to do was love me and show me love and see that I was okay. And here I am saying, no, I gotta take care of me, you know? And you know what? With that kind of attitude, like saying that I owe myself an amends, like, come on, give me a break. I don't owe myself an amends. Like, if I owe myself an amends and I put myself first on that list, that amends will never end. It will be the longest amends I've ever made in my entire life. 5 years later, I'm still making amends to myself. Sorry, I'll get to the other ones later. It doesn't work that way. You know, the best amends I can make to myself is to make amends to everyone else. If you want to make amends to yourself for the stuff that you've done and change in a way that you can't do, that I can't perform on my own, is to make amends to everyone else. You will have there's a difference between finished amends and unfinished amends. There's a way of living, a way of life. There's a freedom about finishing amends that you have to experience. You have to finish them to experience it. And if you really want to make amends to yourself, that's the best way to do it. I don't believe about putting myself on the list. I just don't believe that. That's just me. But I'm also not a believer in if someone doesn't want the money, like let's just say I owed people money and they say, no, I don't want you to pay me back. Then that's it. It's done. I'm not big on telling sponsees, well, you need to go donate that money to this charity to finish that amends, or you need to go donate it here. Well, just put it back in your pocket. You know, if someone doesn't want the amend, then they don't want it. Just because that's left over doesn't mean I have to go donate it somewhere, you know? But I don't necessarily believe in that, you know? And if I can't make an amend and go make a donation to this, no, you know, no. I'm going there to right this wrong. And if that wrong is not available or they say no, it's done, then it's done, okay? That's just me personally. You could find your own way with that. The alcoholic is like a tornado, roaring his way through the lives of others. Hearts are broken, sweet relationships, ships are dead. Affections have been uprooted. Selfish and inconsiderate habits have kept the home in turmoil. We feel a man is unthinking when he says that sobriety is enough. He's like the farmer who came out of the cyclone cellar to find his home ruined. To his wife, he remarked, don't see anything the matter here, Ma. Ain't it grand the wind stopped blowing? When was sobriety enough? Sobriety was never enough. 2 days sober, 2 months sober, 2 years sober, it's not enough on its own. Just staying sober never kept me sober. It never kept me sober. I need more than that. And looking at the first step, it's like I looked at the first step. I looked at the physical. I looked at the physical craving, the mental obsession, the spiritual malady. We went into that. If God is everything, if God is nothing. And I looked at that stuff, right? And I looked at my relationship and the people I've affected and the stuff that's going on in my life. And I remember admitting that this stuff was more important than anything around me. That the bedevilments, these relationships, the problems that were going on in my life sober was more important than anything around me. And I keep that in mind when I'm going through this process. This is connecting me to step one, of course. It's connecting me to step one and step two and the bedevilments and these things that I looked at. Like, I need to get free of that. And here I am, face to face with this person, face to face with these bedevilments, with the alcoholic, the drug addict, lifestyle that I was living, the things I've done to people, the harms I've caused people. And the only way to get past that is to get past it, is to get through it, is to make these amends and move on, you know? And sometimes people, you know, like my mother not wanting to hear it, there's no way I can ever make amends to my mother. There's no way I can make amends to the people that that supported me through my drug addiction. Like, there's no way, you know, and you just do the best you can. You know, if my mother needed anything, like, I'm in debt to her. You know, I'm in debt to my sponsors that have followed me through this journey. And the only way I can repay that back is to repay it back through a life of sobriety, you know? All right. 83, top. Yes, there's a long period of reconstruction ahead. We must take the lead. A remorseful mumbling that we are sorry won't fill the bill at all. We ought to sit down with the family and frankly analyze the past as we now see it, being very careful not to criticize them. Their defects may be glaring, but chances are that our own actions are partly responsible. So we clean house with the family, asking each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. And this is a design for living for all God's kids, okay? The spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. And in the beginning, it seemed like a theory. You know, this whole spiritual life, it was all a theory. This whole God thing was a theory. You know, I'm going to really start to see God working in my life here. I'm really going to start to see God working in through other people too. Because you know what I got here? I was so graced with this forgiveness. I was graced with forgiveness in my amends, but it was from other people. And if other people had done what I had done to them, I don't know if I could have forgiven them. And here I am sitting across from people, this little old couple that I've stolen their credit cards 3 different times and racked them up, you know? And here they are forgiving me and telling me, when I asked them, what can I do to make it right? All they said was spread peace and love on this earth, and that's it. And it was like, God, what a fucking thing to say. That just made me feel so much worse. I feel like such a shit. Like, you could have just scolded me or something like that. But here they are forgiving me. And here I'm seeing the grace of God through other people. Through other people. Through these people that I harmed. I'm experiencing God's grace. I'm experiencing forgiveness. And I'm seeing God in other people. You know? Not always am I going to see it so much in me and what's going on in me, but I might see it around me. And I saw it through these other people because I'm like, how are these people forgiving me? I was wished well by so many people, you know, that I had wronged really bad. I made 2 amends out of sequence. I made an amends to family members because we were going on this family trip and it was causing problems, okay? It was causing problems. I stole my aunt's credit cards and my uncle's credit cards, and I had to go to them and make amends because we were about to have this family event going on. And I needed to make that one out of sequence. And I made an amends to my grandfather out of sequence because he wasn't going to live very long. So I went and made amends to him for that. There is graveside amends. You can make an amends to someone who is dead at a graveside. You can bring a picture of them if you want. You don't have to bring a picture. You can write a letter if you want. You could just do it in person. Just bring your card to the gravesite as you would anyone else. It's a graveside amends. And we can make those and get free from that. Okay. I went back into stores. I was going into stores I'd stolen from and then watching them cash money back in, you know, long time ago. I was crazy when it came to amends. And I would just make these appointments. I'd make appointments. I'd keep to my appointments, and I'd go out and I'd make the amends, and I made them all. Okay. Let me finish this page right here. The spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. I have to live a spiritual life. Unless one's family expresses a desire to live on a spiritual principles, we think we ought not to urge them. We should not talk incessantly to them about spiritual matters. They will change in time. Our behavior will convince them more than our words. We must remember that 10 or 20 years of drunkenness would make a skeptic out of anyone. There may be some wrongs I can never fully right. We don't worry about them if we can honestly say to ourselves that we would right them if we could. Some people cannot be seen. We send them an honest letter. And there may be a valid reason for postponement in some cases, but we don't delay if it can be avoided. We should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble without being servile or scraping. As God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone. Remember, I'm an agent of God. In the third step, we looked at this 3-part relationship, and I'm an agent of God, right? And I don't stand on my feet. I mean, I don't crawl. Before anyone, I stand on my feet when I'm making these amends, you know. Now, these are the 9th step promises. These are the promises when I do the 9th step. Now, I'm not saying that they're not going to show up in your life, but there might be fantasy promises going on in people's life. You know, I remember being early in sobriety and there'd be a promises meeting and I'd be like, oh, I got that promise. Oh, I got that promise too. I got that promise and I'm 30 days sober. And then I went and go and drink it, you know. So it's like, 9th step promises are in the 9th step. So let's just keep them in the 9th step. It says, if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amends before we're halfway through amends. If we were halfway through making our amends, Okay? We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? Hell yeah, they are. We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. If we work towards clearing the way, if we work towards clearing the things that are blocking me from God. And these amends, these harms, these things I've done in my past is still blocking me from access. I got to get access to this power. All right. Now, I talked about the approach, I talked about the cards, and I talked about some amends. Tyler, do you want to share? And then I was going to open it up to any questions about amends that people have or any direction that people might need for their amends.
Well, Joe, I just want to say that that was one of the best shares I've ever heard in my life on step 9. I mean, it was just fantastic what you did. I just got to tell you, it was just so solid and so thorough. You know, I'd rather be here to help answer questions with people than to add any more, because I think you covered it so well, and I want to leave time for them to ask questions. So one of the things is I very rarely myself take any cards in with me. I rarely. You may once in a while, but I tell people memorize the damn card. You know what I mean? But that's the only thing. But sometimes you may want to. And as far as giving money to charity or something like that, if God guides you to do it, go do it. But don't do it because you hear it in the program. Like yes. Joe said, Joe, you covered it so well. Everything. I'm just in awe. Thank you so much, honey. You're so amazing. Let's open it up. Anybody have questions? Comments?
And also, I shared this last week too. If you've been sober a while and you've already made your amends and you're going through this process this way, I don't think it's a good idea to go remake amends.
Once, it's not black and white.
No, it's not black and white. There might be some more stuff that comes up. It does say a first approach, so there might be another approach. But also, I wouldn't bring up certain things again. If like you made amends 5 years ago and you want to bring up the same things that happened 10 years ago, like, I mean, just be careful. Watch the ego.
Well, you know, one thing real quick is it's not my perception of what happened. It's their perception of what happened. I go in to make that amends. I have a perception of what happened and how I harmed them. But that's not as important as their perception when I ask them, are there any other harms that I did to you that I'm not aware of? Because they get a chance to get free. And I get a chance to get free. It's not just about me getting free. It's also about them getting free. Go on, open it up, honey.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Kylie, alcoholic addict. So I have a scenario that I've just been sitting on it because I feel like it's more harmful to make the amends than not to, but I've been advised to make it. And I'm just curious about your opinion. I'm not asking you to tell me what to do, but the harm is that I broke into someone's house to steal drugs and there wasn't any drugs in there to steal. So I left.
No harm. I did the same thing. And you know what? There was no harm there because I couldn't find drugs and we left. And so why would I go tell them that I went into the house? Unless I
Well, it depends on who it is. It depends on who it is, Joe.
But the slide door was unlocked and I just opened it. So who was it?
It depends on who it is. Is it a relative?
And for me, and I'll tell you that, but for me, it's like, if they don't know, isn't it more harmful to be like, I broke into your house? It's a friend that used to live in a quadruplex with me. I haven't talked to her in like, we're Facebook friends, but we haven't had a conversation in like 20 years.
But what's the real harm though? You just went through their house?
Yeah, I just broke in it. I broke in. I like popped a window open.
What I say to you, Kylie, what's God say when you sit in quiet with God, ask God what you need to do? What's God say?
Yeah, I feel just in my intuition, I feel like it's more harmful to bring all that up.
Well,
I would do it.
Dan Sherman used to go on.
I did that, and there was no harm, really harm. I mean,
the only thing I would say to do is go back and tell them why the hell they didn't leave any drugs there. But what a waste of time it was. But you know, Dan Sherman had a great name for the men's like that. He called them goofy amends. Remember,
that's what I think it is.
And I can give you examples of Dan's goofy amends stuff because I used to call him about amends a lot. And I don't personally see it, but the bottom line is God.
Yeah.
We let God be the final judge.
Yeah. Okay. That's helpful. Thanks.
And I guess, if you break in and you damage something,
it's just the fact that I would steal from my friend, you know? So I think that is harmful, but I also feel like every time I go to make it, I'm just like, I'm not afraid, you know, I'm only afraid of making amends with my dad, not anyone else. So like, I'm not afraid of it. I'm happy to do it. But I just, every time I go to do it, I'm like, this is stupid. Like, this doesn't feel right. This is like dragging up a time in both of our lives that no one wants to think about anymore, you know? And that's how I feel about it.
You can feel however you want, but the bottom line is God.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear that. Thank you.
Yeah, baby. Great, great, great consideration. We can share all of our experience, but the bottom line is God. Especially when you're new, you do need to talk to people that are experienced and then pray on it, or vice versa. Joe, you're muted.
I know, I'm waiting for someone to speak up and have a
speak up.
I guess no one else broke into anyone's houses.
Does anybody have any questions on amends that we can be helpful with?
Well, hi, my name is Norma and I'm an alcoholic. I had a situation once, and the person that I made an amends to before BBA, not the BBA way, was too immature to accept or to understand what I was trying to do. So years later, so they accepted the amends, and years later, she beat the shit out of me because of what I did to her. You know, so when is it actually clear? Are we, do you understand what I'm trying to say?
You made amends to a woman and she beat you up?
Yeah, years later, I was just
Did you just take it?
Yeah, I couldn't do anything else but take the beating. I couldn't fight back.
I've never even heard of anything like that before.
To a young lady when she was not even an adult yet. And then years later, almost 20 years later.
Oh, no, I believe you. I just said I've never heard of anything.
Yeah. So what I'm getting is that not everybody is ready to take the amends or to understand what the amends is about. Have you heard that?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Was that, just for clarification, there's difference between when we make apologies on our own and then when we've gone through this process and make amends. So just for clarification, was that an amends after steps?
No, it wasn't in the steps, but however, it was an amends and not the BBA way. Now I say this because the BBA, the way the BBA makes amends is to ask for retribution. Can I do something for it to go away? And that I haven't done. However,
what was the harm?
Pardon me?
What was the harm?
And neglect and abuse. Yeah.
Is this a family member?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, if you're looking at it again this time around, are you looking at it again?
No, I'm not looking at it again.
Well,
I think it will do more harm than anything. I'm not looking at it again. We talked it over. We talked about it.
Let's see. Does that, I mean, sometimes they're not going to agree with us.
Well, the situation is better now because we prayed about it. She prayed about it on her end. And I was watching very carefully what was happening to me after the beating, and then I had a resentment now, you know what I mean? So I had to work through that with God.
I think that you being someone being clear, like you didn't do the BBA process, you know what I mean? And being clear about, I'm very careful when I'm going to make an amends or work with sponsees through amends, that you really ask if that person wants to hear what you're going to say. You know what I mean? And as you're saying it, that you're watching to see, you know what I mean? And you didn't have, I don't know that you had the direction or the,
she wasn't in the steps.
It's an apology. So it's hard to compare that to the way we do it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes sense. It makes sense. But I'm wondering if that ever happened, even in the BBA way.
I've never heard of it. Mm-mm. Never.
Okay.
No. Uh-uh. But it doesn't mean it hasn't happened. I just haven't heard of it.
Me neither.
Thank you, Norma. Who wants to share? Joe, you're muted.
No.
So I can share Norm Alcoholic. I just want to share one thing that, doing these amends, the BBA way, even the first time I went through it, are very impactful. But I think I want to just really align with what Joe had to say today about, like, you can move on and like be stuck at the same time and really not move on, and so on point. But one of the things that I talked with my sponsor only yesterday, and I just want to share it with you guys, that was I have my little list, and I got my locals and everything, and a lot of things are somewhere else. And so during my meditation time, I just did a lot of prayer about, hey God, like, you know, I mean, bring him into it, and if these things can, you know, manifest themselves, you know, let them manifest themselves, and let me be willing, you know, enough to make that amends. Well, I did that. And at 12 o'clock this morning, I got a phone call that was related to just that. And so there it was, it presented itself, and it was on a FaceTime, and I made the amends. But what I want to say is Joe was sharing about how, you know, he wanted to say something back, but he just held it. It wasn't about him. It was about making that amends. And I felt that happen to me today. And so to know that, because I just wanted to like go, well, and I didn't, you know what I mean? And just like hate it and like, okay, this is the amends that I got to make for the wrong that I did. And so I just want to kind of like go along with the fact that, you know, what you had to say, Joe, was like so on point, because it like happened to me this morning. And so like, I can't like thank enough to know that I'm not alone with this type of stuff, because I got some big amends to make, you know what I mean? And as I think about them, they get heavy, you know what I mean? Some, I don't even know where to even begin with my, like, if you talk about my son who hates me and all this kind of stuff, and I'm like, but I prayed and asked God to bring it in. And if it's going to happen, it'll present itself and I'll be able to, you know, embark on that journey. But there's some like really heavy stuff to make amends about. And it's just, Joe, what you had to say, man, today about making amends, I've never heard before. And like, that just made me inside going like, okay, man, you know, I can do this. This is what I need to do. And I actually experienced it. So I never experienced an amends like that. So I just want to share that, you know, prayer is like powerful, man. And so you never know. So thank you, Joe. It was kind of like what I want to say to you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, it's Rick, Alcoholic. I just want to commend you. I think this was really outstanding tonight. It's you really put a lot into this, and like Tyler said, it really was one of the best nine talks I've heard, and I think this would be in the history books. You covered everything very, very, very well, masterfully, I'd actually say. So,
yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for this tonight.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Vanessa. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Vanessa.
Hi. I wanted to share too that one of the first things you said, Joe, was about demonstration. And, you know, I had written the definition of that recently. And so I rewrote it down. And I have the action or process of showing the existence or truth of something by giving proof or evidence. And that I have found, like when you're talking about like not putting ourselves down, you know, and like the actual process of making the amends is the amend to ourselves. And I found that because it is a demonstration. So just to give a quick example, like I have amends to, I was with someone who had a child and a partner, and you know, they didn't know, and I didn't know at first, but it, you know, continued even after I found out. And so I had amends, I had them on my amends cards, like the child and the mother, because I stole time, you know, from them. And I wasn't going to make that amends. Obviously they didn't know, I'm not going to hurt them further, etc. But what that I still write those out, and I read them as if I'm reading them to the person. I read them to my sponsor, and I read them to God, and I read them to myself. And then what I found for me was that it has really stopped me in my tracks. When I'm engaging with someone else and I find out they have like a significant other or something, or maybe it's not even like a physical attraction, but an emotional attraction, it stops me in my tracks. Because I made amends for that, you know, like I didn't physically make an amends to that, but I'm making amends for that, right? And so I don't engage in that behavior. That is the demonstration, you know, like I am not going to engage in that behavior anymore. And that's what I pray for God. I'm like, God, help me to remember these amends, help me to like continue and practice that in all my affairs, right? So for me, that was something that was really, I just give that as an example because I think that's probably the strongest one, but it's like there's a lot of them like that. So even like what Kylie was saying, like Kylie's probably not going to go invade someone else's space, right? Like that's the amend. Like you don't invade anyone's space without their permission, you know? So it's like that to me was like probably the strongest experience that I had like with this process and making amends. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hey, Joe,
oh, I got one.
Oh, go ahead, Jerry. You go first.
Jerry, alcoholic, hey, guys. My resentment is towards my sister and her drinking. And, you know, going through the fifth step or the fourth step, writing it out. I want to go there and just tell her, you know what, you're drinking and you're killing yourself. And that's not making an amends. I'm trying, you know, the twist in my mind is wanting to point out what she's doing wrong. And it hurts me. And that's my resentment is toward her drinking. But in the realization, I'm the one who got her into it when we were teenagers. So do I approach it from that angle?
What's the harm?
Yeah, what's the harm? You think you're responsible for her drinking?
No, the harm, when I wrote on the cause?
No,
the harm on the back, on the bottom. Fourth column, bottom.
How did you hurt her? How did you harm her?
I don't have it here. I drank and used and introduced her into drugs and alcohol. And that partying was cool.
How long ago was that?
We were teenagers. I mean, it's been a long time. And, you know, she's successful. She's smart. And she does, you know.
If you feel guided by God to make that amends to your sister, you go do it.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's a backdoor kind of way for me just to try and point out that I'm seeing her kill herself. And
well, if you have another motive, if you have an ulterior motive, make sure your motives are pure.
Okay.
Yeah, make sure you're going there. And if you're not, then continue to pray.
Yeah, because I'm falling around the carpet.
If I'm going to make amends because I think that somehow it's going to change that person,
it might, but that can't be my motive. Do you know what I mean, Jerry? And I think you're feeling guided but unsure, so just continue to pray on it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because right now my motive is not right. So I got to give it some time, let it marinate a little longer and get it right.
Well, you know, you can go tell her, you know, and apologize for what happened as teenagers and tell her your
40 years ago.
No, tell her that your motive for doing it was to maybe help hopefully impact her drinking.
Yeah.
If you want to be that honest, go do it.
That sounds, to me, that sounds more like a, hey, sis, I'm concerned about your drinking just because I know from experience. If you ever want to talk about it or ever need any support, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And but you can say you're making amends because I feel somewhat that I introduced you to it.
Yeah.
But you know, that doesn't mean you're responsible for drinking today. That's for sure.
No, not at all. Thank you. And Joe, by the way, the promise is you just blew my mind. The way it's always been taken out of context, you know, in meetings and read the promises and just,
it's
so obvious it's meant for this step. And it's great. A lot of that stuff does apply to other areas of the program. And yes, those things do happen, like you said, but it's meant right for that section. And I've never heard it read like that. The way you bring it out is, it's amazing. Both you and Tyler, I'm just blown away by you guys. So thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Thanks so much. Anybody have any?
Yeah, Joe, I have a question.
Yeah, Fernando.
My name is Fernando, and I'm an alcoholic. And so for me, making my amends, I don't know if it's a goofy amends, but it's the one that I have towards God. And I've had, you know, I have another harm that I hate myself for not having the answers and for being weak, you know, and for not being open-minded to the possibility that God does exist and that he wants to have that relationship with me. So that's one of those amends that, you know, how do you make that amends with God?
Well, do it in prayer. Ask God what he...
Yeah. I think you talk to Jose now and then, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you take it to Jose?
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. He'd be the right one to help you with that.
Okay.
He'd probably say you don't know any. but he'd be good to talk to about it. Anybody have any considerations?
Or questions about the cards, questions about amends?
I'll share something with you that has been important when I'm working with people on amends, that when someone's going to make an amends to, let's say, I've had numerous ones of they're gonna make an amends to a mother that they haven't seen in 8 years, okay, or 10 years or whatever it is, right? Because of their drinking, they're using. I want them to have a plan of how it's going to be different before they go make amends. You're not going to go make amends and clean up not seeing someone that's important to you for 10 years and then you're going to make amends and not see them for another 10 years. You're going to have to go there with a plan of how it's going to be different. You know, I'd like to make sure that I'm seeing you for lunch once a month, or I'm calling you a couple times every 2 weeks. This is about repairing, right? And so when these are important relationships, have a plan, whether it's sister or a brother or mother or father. Does that make sense to you guys?
I have a question, Tyler.
Kind of
about
honey.
What about when someone is, you want to make amends, but the person is mentally ill? For example, like my mom is borderline, and I have made amends to her before.
But well, if she's borderline, then you're saying she's not safe.
Right. So if it's someone that's not safe or... Right, not mentally fit.
Well, that would be take a conversation to see if you want to do anything to connect in any way, whether through an email or a card every few months or anything that you might want to do just to connect. And if you don't, then you don't have to, because it's a different situation. It's, you know what I mean? Someone that's not safe.
That's what I've been feeling, that it's not necessarily going to be a direct conversation, but rather like what you're talking about, more of an action on my part.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, remember, I didn't harm people through a card. I didn't harm people through a telephone. I harmed people face to face. So every time I can do it face to face, it's better. But there are times that calls for a card or a letter.
And I made amends to my father, and I don't want a relationship with him.
You don't have to want a relationship. You do not. No.
Just because they're a family member, you don't have to have a relationship.
No, I'm not saying that, Joe. You
know. No, I know. I'm just clarifying that.
Yeah.
My father will not have a relationship with me. So that's just the way that is. But I did make amends to him, and I did give him opportunity we had a good conversation because he spoke up about stuff that.
It's not like I do want to have a relationship with her, and there's stuff I'm not ready. Like, it's still like, I'm still getting clear, but what I do know is that I have made amends to her in the past. And, it's a difficult situation because it's one of those things where when I give an inch, she takes a foot, you know? So to say something like, I'm going to call you once a week, that's every day.
Oh, no, you wouldn't do that. I wouldn't tell you anyone to do it in that situation.
Yeah.
No.
Also, when it comes to family, too, and getting sober, this is just about my own personal experience. Just because I'm sober now and, you know, I have that past, doesn't give people permission to pull me into their crisis and their insanity. Yeah. Because I've watched family as I've gotten well and grown, they've not gotten well and grown, and they've stayed stuck in their little situation. So I've had to set boundaries too with family members because I kept getting pulled into crisis and crisis, and I've had to set boundaries too. So don't think just because we're here making amends for stuff that we have to put up with. People's crap too. I don't want to make that sound distasteful, but that's not just for family, but for everyone. Like, I'm not here to put up with other people's bullshit either, because I'm sober.
Well, as God's kids, we don't crawl before anyone.
Exactly.
So, that's what's helped me, I think, with BBA especially, is that just the relationship with my higher power, and especially in these last couple rounds, like, has just become so much tighter for me. And so
I love that.
And that is the thing that's the most comforting, because to not be able to connect with certain family or to see what Joe was just talking about is so scary if I don't have the care of a higher power, right? But having the care of a higher power and knowing that they have the care of our higher power, like really feeling that and really understanding that in a whole different way now, has helped me to be able to be more courageous and more, you know, like to be able to walk the walk and like just go through this and know that it's okay. It's okay. They're going to be okay. You know, I'm okay. You know, so I thank you guys both for all of it.
Oh yeah. And real quick, sometimes when I've had a parent or a couple that has tried to get back together and they've been estranged and had a lot of problems because one wants to make amends to the other, or I have a mother that wants to make amends to a child that like she's divorced and the child's not lived with her, right? And there's a lot of stuff between this and the child's like 14, 15, whatever it is, even older. I do have sent many, many people to a therapist to do the amends with a therapist that I know knows 12-step work, right? Because they can navigate a healing rather than getting into a battle. And many times the outcome is, I've always found it to be very, very positive. And many times the reluctant person is willing to do it when there's a therapist there to help them. Does that make sense?
All right. 10:28, last call.
I just want to thank you, Josie, so much for your talk.
So good. Awesome.
And thank you, Tyler.
Thank you,
guys.
Oh, yeah. Josie, was incredible tonight. Incredible.
All right. Tyler, any announcements?
Next week is step 10. Are you doing it still, Joe?
Yeah, unless you want to do it.
No. You wanted to do it, and I'll do 11. Yeah. Is that right? My thought is that I would like people to whoever they partnered with their step questions to be partnered for a week in step 10, that they call each night and talk about their step 10. That's not what the step 10 refers to when it says that we talk to someone immediately. That's not what it means, but that they just talk each night to that person, starting when you get your step 10 transcribed, right? And you commit to that, and just to talk and see how was your step 10 lived that day, just for a week. And then I'm going to ask you to do it again on your nightly review in step 11 for a week. Okay. Is that okay, Joe?
Okay. Absolutely. All right. If that's it from everyone, Tyler, no more announcements?
No more announcements that I can think of.
All right. I'm going to close.
Grateful to see everyone.
I'm going to close this with the seventh step prayer. All right. My creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defective character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. Amen. All right, everyone. Thank you.
Bye.
Kylie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Is the recording stopped?